as well as also provide an avenue for existing Wikipedia content to get external academic and scholarly feedback on it.
Welcome to Wikipedia Podden and another special episode in English. I'm Jan Einarli, and today we're looking at wiki journals. And to do that, we'd have Thomas Scheife. Was that correct?
That's correct.
All right. And you're chair of the administrative board of wiki journals and also editor-in-chief of Wiki Journal of Science, if I understand correctly.
Yep, that's right.
All right. Welcome to the show. Before we going into to the wiki journals, I'm a little bit curious how you find your way into the Wikimedia movement.
So I did my PhD thesis about 5 or 6 years ago now, and I put a whole load of effort into the introduction section of that, and particularly the images for the introduction section. And I think in the best case scenario, maybe 5 people ever read my PhD thesis. Mm-hmm. Whereas I then went to Wikipedia, which had stub articles on many of the topics that I was writing about in my PhD thesis introduction. And I started reformatting the images and text for that and kind of got hooked. A group of people who were doing a top to bottom rewrite of the gene article and the enzyme article asked me to help out. And I've been involved in Wikipedia and Wikicommons ever since.
Ah. Oh, so a very nice and positive first experience then.
I think I was very lucky in that. I think the specialist and particularly the scientific areas tend to be much easier to get into.
Hmm. All right, so we mainly have usually Swedish listeners and Wikipedia editors. So wiki journals, could you give a brief overview of that?
Yeah, so wiki journals are currently a mainly English project. And they sit within English Wikiversity. So the Wiki Journals were started up in 2014 by Mikael Hagström, who made the Wikiversity Journal of Medicine, later renamed to the Wiki Journal of Medicine. And the aim behind that was to try and, number one, get more professional clinicians and practicing doctors to contribute to Wikipedia and Wikimedia projects, as well as also provide an avenue for existing Wikipedia content to get external academic and scholarly feedback on it.
Mm.
And subsequently, 2 additional journals have spun out of that. So the original one was Medicine, and subsequently there's also become a Wiki Journal of Science and a Wiki Journal of Humanities to try and cover broader additional topics. So the way that those work is that people write articles for them, and those are put through full academic peer review. So they're sent out to external experts in the field who have no Wikimedia affiliation, no Wikimedia experience necessarily, but do know about that topic, and they give extensive feedback, which is then implemented by the people who submitted that article. And that article could be written completely from scratch, or it could be an article submitted out of Wikipedia. It really doesn't matter where it comes from the point of view of the journals currently.
Mm. And behind all of that, there's also, I mentioned that you were in the administrative board and there's a editorial board as well?
Mm. So the way it's organized is that when someone submits an article, it goes to the editorial board of that journal. So Wiki Journal of Science, Wiki Journal of Medicine, Wiki Journal of Humanities each have an editorial board, and they're the people who are in charge of organizing, sending it out to peer review, collecting those peer reviews back up again, and communicating with the author and overseeing the process. Typically, the author will then respond to all of the peer review comments, and when we send it back out to the peer reviewers again, we'll say, yep, we're happy with the changes that have been made. It's all fine by us. But if there's a disagreement between that, the editorial boards are also in charge of mediating between the author and the reviewer. So that's where the editorial boards sit. And then on top of that, there's a very thin layer of the administrative board. So that's a few people who organize some of the technical behind the scenes stuff, as well as some of the technical interactions with the broader Wikimedia movement. So, for example, applying for the WikiJournal user group to become a thematic organization like Wikimedia Medicine, or applying for a whole sister project to host the WikiJournals, because currently they just sit within Wikiversity, but conceivably there could be a specialist sister project like Wikidata, like Wikicommons, like Wikiversity, but just to host the journals and similar journal content.
Ah, that sounds very interesting. We haven't had any new projects in a while. So what are the main drivers for leaving this Wikiversity? Because otherwise it feels like the name alludes to university, which science should fit into.
In many ways, it's a very good fit. And that's why it started up, it sort of incubated within Wikiversity. From my point of view, there are a few things that work better if it's a separate site. So some of those are very simple. So, for example, greater control over the buttons that sit at the left-hand side of the page and the tabs at the top of the page. And some of them are more significant. So, for example, having specialist extensions in order to, when an article is published, assign a DOI and a stable version, and maybe to annotate the history of that article to indicate which of the versions in its history was peer-reviewed by which peer reviewer, which is the version that was agreed to by each peer reviewer. So some of those more specialist features might be easier to implement in a separate site.
Ah, and do you imagine those to be like extensions or JavaScript add-ons onto MediaWiki, or are you imagining a complete different platform?
At the moment, I think it should. I would hope that it's all workable with MediaWiki software, with extensions and add-ons. I wouldn't envisage it needing to be something very separate, like you might see the example with the Wiki Edu dashboard being something that's very separate. Mm. One thing that is possible is for handling some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, for example, tracking which peer reviewers have been invited, which peer reviewers have not responded or declined or have given their review or need to be reminded. Those sorts of things might need to be handled by non-MediaWiki software that then has an API to interact backwards and forwards with MediaWiki, probably using Wikidata as the intermediary. So all of that information about when was this article submitted? When was the first peer review submitted? Was the first peer review positive or negative? Have all of the points in the first peer review been responded to? All of those sorts of timings and dates hopefully should be handleable by Wikidata, but specialist bots and tools and APIs are going to be needed to make that doable with minimal manual effort.
All right, that's pretty cool. So do you already have some sort of active collaboration with the Wikisite user group?
We don't have anything formal, but there's a lot of overlap between the Wikisite user group and people involved in this. Yes, it makes absolute sense. And in fact, one of the things that we've been doing is also experimenting with what additional metadata is possible to store in Wikidata relating to a bibliographic item. So typically a Wikidata item about a journal article includes basic things like when was it submitted and when was it published, but it's totally possible to include far more information, like who were the peer reviewers, who was the handling editor, what was the funding, were any other people acknowledged who weren't on the author list but who were in the acknowledgements. There's a lot of other interesting and rich metadata that, again, should be possible to put in there so long as it's automatable in some way, because just doing it manually doesn't scale well.
Yeah, I can certainly feel that, because I've been experimenting a little bit with podcast episodes, and just entering the metadata about these podcasts is tedious. And if you're doing something at scale, then it gets, that's a lot of work. So talking a little bit about scale, how big is your community right now?
So the community is probably around 80 people who are on one or more of the editorial boards. So there are a couple of people who are on two editorial boards, but most people are just on one journal. So there's about 80 people who fall into that category. And that's sort of the stable community. There's also more transient communities. So, for example, almost all peer reviewers only ever contribute once or twice because they'll be specialists in one particular area. And they also don't have typically any other Wikimedia experience. So they typically just drop in once, make their contribution and drop out again. Authors, it varies. Sometimes they're long-term Wikimedians and stay around with the project and are repeat contributors. And again, sometimes they're just once off. They've got specialist knowledge in a particular topic and they want to contribute that. And and there's an additional group of associate editors who aren't on an editorial board, but again, who have more specialist knowledge and want to be able to assist in organizing peer review in a kind of a one-off sort of a way, rather than being on an editorial board and being a continuous part of the community. Plus, of course, we've got a reasonably active community that comment on the main talk page for the journals. And also we've started having open conference call meeting once every 3 months. And we had the first one of those back in February, and we're hoping to make it a regular event that just people can turn up to. So we had a 35 or so people turn up to that.
I noticed you mentioned that like long-time Wikimedians were already part of it. If you are a Wikimedian and you listen to this podcast and you get a little bit intrigued by Wiki journals and you think science is cool in general, how can you join and help in any shape or form?
Well, there's a few ways of getting involved. One of those, of course, is if you've got an interest in the editorial side of things and in organizing peer review, you can apply to the editorial boards. And we host, we have an open application system that's very similar to applying to be an admin or something on an existing Wikimedia project. So typically we ask people if they have any experience in a specialist topic, any experience in publishing, or any experience in open projects. And usually they either need to have deep experience in one of those, and so Wikimedians typically have deep experience in open projects, or shallow experience in two or more of them. Other ways of contributing, of course, if you have a topic that you've always wanted to contribute on, but it's perhaps original research. So you've been doing some of your own research on a topic, and you think, actually, this would make an interesting article. I would love for it to be put through rigorous peer review and published. The journals publish original research articles. So we have original medical case studies. We have meta-analyses of the effects of vitamin D on conditions. We have studies in ways of teaching physics concepts. So we do publish original research. But the core of the journals at the moment is currently review-style articles. And that may either be something that is currently a stub or a start or missing on Wikipedia, and so is written basically from scratch, and content from that can be copied over into Wikipedia after peer review. Or it may be a Wikipedia article that you've been working on for 10 years, and you think, you know what, this Wikipedia article that I've written is as good as any review I have ever read in the academic literature on that topic. I bet it would pass academic peer review. In that case, try your luck, see whether that's true and submit it to a wiki journal, and we can organize academic peer review as stringent as any other journal.
Oh, that's a good challenge for all of you who have been writing featured articles, I guess.
Well, that's sort of a parallel process to this, right?
Yeah.
So I have some knowledge of featured articles within English Wikipedia, and I understand that they can be slightly different in different language Wikipedias. But of course, the standard featured article and good article system in English Wikipedia is done by other internal editors within the encyclopedia. And this is a complementary process to that, where you get external input that's specifically not from other Wikipedians.
Ah, that's pretty cool. And I also think that it could be the original research part is something like you usually don't see at all within Wikipedia. So yeah, here's an outlet for that.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, one of the things that has been quite an interesting crossover is there is actually a bit of original research you effectively find in Wikipedia, which is the images in Wikimedia Commons. A lot of images, particularly scientific diagrams, are actually synthesized from other sources. So, for example, a diagram of a biological metabolic pathway may actually be summarizing multiple independent sources, typically without a reference at all. And so what is possible with the wiki journals is to submit just that diagram on its own and the figure legends and all of the references that you used to draw that diagram yourself. And again, put it through peer review and say, is this diagram an accurate summary of that particular biological pathway or whatever?
Yes, I see how that can be perceived or not perceived. It is actual original research and also a good way to actually put that to the test as well then.
Hmm.
You mentioned that you had mostly review and less original research. Is that, do you know why, or is it something that you want, or is it you just take it as it comes?
Well, we've had a focus on review style content so far because it's also quite easy to then integrate into Wikipedia, which gives an additional outlet and boost. So for example, if there's just a stub article on an important parasite of livestock, then a review article can be written on that parasite of livestock for the journals, go through peer review, and then essentially that can be moved in its entirety into Wikipedia, just removing perhaps the conclusion section or removing the future directions or perspective section. But the rest of it can go straight into Wikipedia. Whereas original research, of course, doesn't have the benefit of being immediately implemented into Wikipedia. And one of the things that we found from academics who have been interested in this is that they're used to publishing in journals where the median journal article is read less than 1,000 times ever. So that's the median journal article being very low readership. Whereas, of course, we can then gather the page view stats for the English language version of that Wikipedia article and say, well, you wrote this article for the journal. That's very useful. You get a DOI for it. You have a stable citable version. It can go in your CV. It can go in your grant applications. It can go for tenure promotion. But also it's been integrated into Wikipedia. And through that, you get 10,000, 30,000, 100,000 views per annum just in English, let alone the fact that it's often then translated into other languages, which is something very unique compared to the sort of review article that you might find in a standard academic journal. And in addition to that, the way that MediaWiki operates is that versioning is done very transparently. So you can clearly go back and see, well, this was the version as it was submitted to the journal. This was the version that the peer reviewers saw. This was the version after peer review. This was the version as submitted. And if in 5 years' time, there's additional information on this and you want to update your own article, if it were in a traditional academic journal, you would have to rewrite that review article completely from scratch to avoid self-plagiarism or to avoid the fact that most journals, you hand over the copyright to them when you publish. So they own your writing. You don't own your writing anymore. Whereas in the wiki journals, you can say, oh, well, actually, I want to write topic XYZ 2025 update. And you can just use the exact same content again, but putting in your updated material, and it can get sent out to peer review. And the peer reviewers are told, well, look, this was previously already published and the peer reviews are here. Here's the additional changes that have been made since then. Would you do the peer review just on those changes? And that should be a much quicker proposition, much easier for the peer reviewers, rather than the current system of academic journals where the whole thing gets done again completely from scratch.
Ah, so that becomes a very novel idea compared to other journals then.
Yeah, although it's completely standard in textbooks. People are used to the idea that every 5 or 10 years, a new edition of a textbook comes out.
Yeah.
Very similar system.
Yeah. You mentioned here the benefit with possible translations to other languages, and you said in the beginning, I think, mostly English. So have you had any review articles of other language articles yet?
So far, we've had no articles that have been entirely in another language. One of the things that has been done has been translation of the abstract, the equivalent to the lead paragraph, the translation of the abstract into other languages. That's been experimented with. And one of the other things that we plan to experiment with is for multilingual authors, asking them if they would like to, they could absolutely submit both an English version and another language version. And the English version gets sent out for peer review. And then they simply vouch for the fact that their translation is an accurate translation of the English version that was peer reviewed. The problem, the limitation with handling the whole process in a non-English language is that, for better or worse, English is currently the common language of academia. So organizing peer review in its entirety in another language can be quite difficult.
Yeah, I can see that.
Having said that, there are several journals that do that in other languages. So it's not an impossible task.
Hmm. All right. I'm going to step back a little bit because you also said that you're right now a user group and you're applying for a thematic organization. Could you tell us a little bit about why and how that process is going?
Mm. So the application for becoming a thematic organization was submitted sometime last year. I can't remember exactly when. But the idea behind that is that currently user groups are organized to be best for small projects, whereas thematic organizations are the equivalent to national chapters, but just with a thematic focus rather than a regional focus. And as the user group continues to grow, it will be very useful to be able to have that more structured framework that a thematic organization allows. It also enables access to larger grants, particularly if we want to try and organize developers to start making some of the pieces of software that people within our community don't happen to have the volunteer skills to be able to do.
Ah, that makes a lot of sense, yes. So before going to the end of this, I want to ask you, is there something that you thought I was going to ask and haven't yet that you have an answer to?
Well, there are a couple of little bits.
One thing
talking about applications, we've mentioned this idea of the sister project application, and we've mentioned this idea of the thematic organization application. But the journals, because they are part of an additional knowledge ecosystem, the knowledge ecosystem of academia, we actually have had to put in applications for a whole load of other certifications. So, for example, the journals are listed in DOAJ, the Directory of Open Access Journals, and that required application too. The Wiki Journal of Medicine, the ethics statement of the journal, the publication ethics statement, has been audited by the Committee on Publication Ethics. And so we had to have laid out not only standard academic guidelines, but also some of the interesting cases that come up because we are both an academic journal and also we intersect with the Wikimedia ecosystem. So we had to have interesting stuff in the ethics about ownership of content, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And we recently put in applications for indexing in Scopus and PubMed Central, and there's an application in preparation for Web of Science. So some of these wider indexing systems, there are also applications for. And the way that the journals are trying to do that is to do it all, again, openly on MetaWiki, so you can see exactly what we're writing in all of those application forms, which, again, is pretty radical transparency compared to what is the norm in other academic journals. So, for example, you can read the rejection letter from the first time that we applied to Scopus 2 and a bit years ago. Wiki Journal of Medicine was actually rejected from Scopus. And so in our reapplication, we had to respond to those criticisms and how we've changed since then.
Now that's pretty cool. I guess it goes in line with the general Wikimedia ethos.
Yeah, and it's something that I think Wikimedia has a lot to teach to the academic ecosystem, just as the academic ecosystem and way of doing things has things to teach Wikimedia.
Yeah, because this is open science in action, you could say. How do you feel that the open science movement can teach the Wikimedia something and the other way around?
I think that one of the things that open science as a movement is very focused on is interoperability. So the ability to have things all linked together very easily. For example, I have an ORCID, an open researcher identification number, and I can use that ORCID to sign into all sorts of different sites within the open knowledge movement. But it's relatively rare for you to be able to use your Wikimedia login to be able to log into anything other than a Wikimedia site. Or similarly, my GitHub account can interact with my Figshare account. And again, I don't have any easy way of just, for example, with one click, moving an image from Figshare into Wikimedia Commons. the only exception to that, I think, is Flickr. We have that. So I find that the Wikimedia ecosystem is very well integrated with other bits of the Wikimedia ecosystem, but its tendrils outside of that are very limited. You kind of see that in the Wikimania conference, that the majority of people at that conference experience Wikimedians and usually Wikipedians. And there are very few people from other allied professions who absolutely have something to learn from that, but tend not to end up at Wikimania.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. All right. And was there something else that I missed to ask?
Let me think. Well, actually, one of the things I did want to give a shout out to is part of the broader ideas around wiki journals, because they didn't appear in a vacuum. So there have actually been a few other existing academic journals that have experimented in this space since back in 2008, I think, and particularly in 2012. So there was a journal of RNA biology that started requiring people who published in their journal on new RNA families to also create or update the Wikipedia page as part of applying to the journal. And the same thing for the journal Gene, which when people are writing about gene families, they have the option of writing what's called a gene wiki review, where again, they write something for the journal and they have to write something separate for Wikipedia, because the journal is a subscription closed access journal, so the content has to be different. And then since then, PLOS Computational Biology and subsequently PLOS Genetics started up their topic pages format, which is the most similar to one of the things that the wiki journals do. And in the topic pages format, authors are asked to write a Wikipedia style review article that the journal puts through peer review, the journal publishes, and then it gets copied into Wikipedia. There's a few restrictions on that. So you can't use any existing Wikipedia content. It has to be stub, start, or missing currently on Wikipedia. So there's a few limitations from the PLOS system. And also, of course, it has to be within scope of PLOS Genetics or PLOS Computational Biology. So there are those restrictions that PLOS has that the wiki journals don't have. But PLOS has definitely been a major inspiration for the way that the wiki journals operate. And one of the things that the wiki journals, as a user group, are very happy to do is to liaise with other academic publishers from across the ecosystem to advise them on how they might follow in those footsteps and implement, even if it's just as a one-off, a single issue, something where they're able to mobilize their specialist knowledge networks to generate useful open content for Wikimedia.
And when talking about scope, do you feel like you have the width that you need right now, or do you envision even further topics of WikiJournal later on? Have you had someone submit something that they wanted published and you said, no, we don't have that as a scope?
Yes and no. So the journals, in terms of their scope and breadth, are able to cover the vast majority of topics, because WikiJournal of Science covers STEM topics: science, technology, engineering, mathematics. And the Wiki Journal of Humanities also technically covers arts and social science and business and law and commerce. So in that sense, together, they cover the vast majority of topics. What actually is still limited is depth in those editorial boards. So one example would be the Wiki Journal of Science currently has relatively limited expertise in the editorial board on chemistry. And so when chemistry articles are submitted, it's harder for the editorial board to organize peer review than it would be when biology articles are submitted, because we've got quite a lot of biologists on that editorial board. And even more so for some of the other topics within Wiki Journal of Humanities, the editorial board can be quite thin on some of those specialist topics. So that actually is probably the current limitation.
And are you working to try to expand that, or are you hoping that will organically grow over time?
Obviously, there's always a hope that they'll organically grow over time, and we have been seeing that. But we also try to specifically plug gaps by trying to contact people with either specialist expertise to invite them to contribute to the editorial board, particularly if they have an interest in the open access or open knowledge movement, as well as also trying to contact people from geographically underrepresented areas or underrepresented gender identities or ethnicities, for example. There's also a focus on trying to make sure we actually have a diverse editorial set of editorial boards so that it's not just a whole load of white Europeans and North Americans organizing the whole thing.
Ah, yes, of course. All right, Thomas, thank you for taking the time talking to us here at Wikipedia Podden.
Always happy to chat.
And this was a special episode of Wikipedia Podden, and you can find all our episodes in English. Just look for the tag on our website or under the audio files in English on Wikimedia Commons. Bye for now.